Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Have you ever wondered if something was wrong with you because you prefer being alone to being with other people? Do you prefer the company of one person or a few close friends to the company of many? Do social situations overwhelm you and tire you out? Are you a deep thinker who is most comfortable and feel the most emotionally balanced in quiet places? Are you an individualist who finds it hard to fit in with the crowd? Do people call you shy or tell you to just get out of your shell? Well, today I am here to tell you that there's nothing wrong with you and you are not alone. What makes you different is what also makes you especially gifted. By the end of this show, you will understand yourself in a way that will make you feel proud to be you. In the last year, I learned something about myself that took me by surprise. I discovered that I am an introvert. I'd always been under the impression that introverts were shy, antisocial people with poor social skills. That description does not match my personality at all. I just enjoy being alone, and I require a great deal of restorative solitude. It's common for people, especially those who are not shy or antisocial, to be unaware of their introverted personalities. That's because introversion is largely misunderstood. Until we understand who we are, how we function, and the benefits of being introverts, we may think of ourselves as abnormal oddballs. And those who do not have introverted personalities don't understand how we function either. They may be quick to label us as shy, standoffish, misfits, or loners, or tell us to just come out of our shells. And introverted children who are less talkative or assertive are often treated as if they are abnormal. Introversion is often confused with shyness, but they are two separate things that have little to do with each other. They may or may not be related. An introvert may be shy, but shyness is not introversion. I was labeled a shy child. Every report that was sent home from school said, needs to participate more. That used to really annoy me. I was also very sensitive to the vibes of the people around me and may have reacted adversely to some of them as a result, but I don't believe that I was actually shy. Shy people suffer social anxiety. Inhibited by fear, nervousness, and apprehensiveness, they will avoid social situations whenever possible. They are seen as weak and submissive. That was never the case with me. I was not afraid of people and certainly not submissive. When defining the line between introvert and extrovert, people tend to focus on the most apparent social aspects of someone's personality. But the way in which introverts socialize has little to do with their tendencies towards introversion. Introverts may not display introverted behavior in social situations at all. They may even appear to be social butterflies, so they may be hard to spot in a crowd. For the most part, they don't like places that are noisy or crowded, and they may feel self-conscious around other people. But that doesn't mean that they sequester themselves from society. Just because someone is introverted does not mean that he or she is a recluse. Introverts enjoy going out and having a good time, but cannot be in stimulating environments for extended periods of time without quickly becoming bored, tired, and overwhelmed. They're perfectly able to function well in social situations. They can enjoy the company of friends as long as they can find restorative alone time afterwards to recharge their batteries. The need for restorative alone time is what truly distinguishes the extrovert from the introvert. In my childhood, adolescence, and young adulthood, I was a social person, though I've always preferred the company of a few over a group. I know many people. I have a wide circle of acquaintances, and by all appearances, I excel in social situations. But being around a lot of people, even when I'm having a good time, emotionally exhausts me. I look forward to going home and back to my solitude where I can recharge my energy bank. That is a fundamental characteristic of introverts. By nature, they're energized when alone and often engaging in creative activities, and emotionally drained when around other people. Extroverts, thrill seekers, and others who thrive on high levels of stimulation become easily bored in non-stimulating environments. Introverts function exactly opposite. Their inner world is much more stimulating and rewarding to them than any outside stimulation can ever be. They are easily distracted, bored, and emotionally fatigued in environments that are too stimulating. They focus best in tranquil environments. I am never bored when I'm alone. In fact, I prefer it. Ideally, introverts prefer working at home where they can control the amount of stimulation they are exposed to over working in an office or environment that overstimulates them and they cannot escape from. I prefer to do my work and am the most creative in complete silence. No television, no music playing. Though we prefer to work independently, we are also great team players and leaders when out in the workforce. But when we do work outside of the home, we require zoning out time afterwards. If you live with an introvert, you would be wise to not disturb them after work while they are in their re-energizing and rebalancing mode. Introverts need time to be alone with their thoughts in a non-stimulating, quiet environment. This behavior may be misconstrued as depression by those who do not understand it, but it is not depression at all. They are very content in their solitude. Being alone is just the way introverts stay emotionally balanced. They are perfectly at ease with their own thoughts and quiet contemplation. Introverts are highly introspective by nature. With our keen eye for detail, many of us are also creative people, writers or artists, just as I am. It's much easier for me to share myself and inspire others through writings and artistic expression than it is through personal contact. when I'm concentrating on something, reading or working on a project, I do not like to be interrupted. Being disturbed while in my zone unnerves me. So now that my children are grown, my house is quiet and distractions are minimal, I spend my weekdays alone at home doing what I love, writing and crafting jewelry. That is my ideal environment. But as a published author with the mission of helping others, I must be in the public eye to reach people and pass on my messages. So I have learned to push past my preference and put myself out there as much as possible. And because I spend so much time inwardly focused, I find it necessary at least once a week to get out of my own head and connect with others in a profound, meaningful way, preferably one-on-one. So I fulfill that need through the volunteering I do for hospice, whether visiting and keeping someone company or sitting vigil by the bedside of someone whose death is imminent. Still, no matter where I am or what the circumstances are, I always look forward to coming back home and going within to restore my energy. And I prefer not having to talk to anyone until I recenter. But that's not unusual for me because I don't always enjoy talking. I'd rather not talk unless I have something substantial to say. That is typical for most introverts. They rarely talk just for the sake of talking. Introverts do not enjoy small talk or superficial idle chatter. We find it annoying, disingenuous, and are intolerant of it. Those who talk loud or talk too much but have little to say agitate us. When I'm exposed to someone like that, I need to balance out the noisy, mindless chatter with quiet solitude to regain my inner composure. But the fact that we are intolerant of small talk does not mean we can't be great conversationalists. Introverts can be easily engaged in conversation when it has meaning for them. They mostly enjoy conversations that are philosophical, reflective, and and analytical. That is because introverts are deep thinkers. They enjoy reading books and watching movies that leave them with something to think about, something to learn, and something that makes life more meaningful. They also enjoy the challenge of working on puzzles or solving word games. Introverts also gain a great deal of information through observation. They will internally analyze and process the input to gain a full understanding of it before opining on it or discussing it with others. They tend to think before they speak, a characteristic that makes them appear wise to others. Introverts have a way of guiding others with their soft-spoken but self-assured approach. When they speak, their words are thoughtful and meaningful. When the topic of conversation really matters to them, they are supportive, tireless listeners. If it doesn't, they will tune out the conversation to preserve their energy. Introverts are highly attuned to their own thoughts, perceptions, and emotions, as well as the thoughts, perceptions, and feelings of those around them. Their high level of empathy is one reason why introverts find surface friendships so challenging to maintain. It's difficult for them to fully connect with a variety of personalities. It takes way too much energy from their limited reserve. So while they may have a wide circle of acquaintances, they tend to have a small circle of carefully selected friends. Ideally, the introvert prefers one-on-one engagement rather than large group settings. Friendships must be mutually loyal and trustworthy. Introverts have no tolerance for disloyalty. They cannot fake their feelings and will promptly filter out people who are guilty of it out of their lives. They will only fully engage with those they consider honest and real, those who know them, love them, and fully accept them for who they are. As individualists who pride ourselves on our unique take on life, we find it hard to fit in with the crowd. It's difficult for the introvert, someone who is honest, blunt, and forward, to be in a group setting where others are engaging in polite social conversation. When introverts have something to say, they do not want to mince words. So the superficial social pleasantries that come so easy to others are exhausting to the introvert, who just wants others to be real, to say what they mean and mean what they say. That is why most introverts are turned off by the superficiality of face-to-face business networking. The fact that everyone is in it for the advancement of their own personal goals makes the interaction feel insincere and empty, and the people seem phony. Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung, one of the founders of modern psychology, introduced the word introvert to our language. He described introversion as a preference for one's internal world of thoughts, feelings, fantasies, and dreams. He said, and I quote, "Introverts have an inward flowing of personal energy. Introverts are more concerned with the inner world of the mind. They enjoy thinking, exploring their thoughts and feelings. The introvert is usually happy alone with a rich imagination and prefers reflection to activity." And when describing the way introverts think, Jung explained that they're more interested in ideas and the big picture rather than facts and details. Another very interesting thing about Jung's philosophy was that he attributed the introvert's personality to the inward flow of psychic energy, opposite of the extrovert's psychic energy that he claimed flowed outward. He believed that psychic energies flowing inward create a sensitive person, one who more easily absorbs the energies around him, one who is turned inward. That explains the etymology of the word introvert. It comes from two Latin words, intro, meaning inward, and vertere, meaning to turn. Well, we are a little more than halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break. I will continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadow's song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy, stay tuned, and I will be right back. To today's discussion. Say it loud, I'm an introvert and proud. In the first half of the show, I discussed the traits of those with introverted personalities. So that naturally leads me into a discussion about what causes someone to be an introvert or extrovert. Is it nature, nurture, or a combination of both? For example, I've always been a highly sensitive person physically and emotionally, and very intuitive. But what made me that way Was I particularly sensitive and intuitive because I was born an introvert, or did I learn to withdraw and put up walls as a way to shield myself from the onslaught of painful relationships and inappropriate personal intrusions that I experienced throughout my life? When I ponder these questions, I realize that though my emotional walls were up for many years, they now function appropriately. So, curiously, that has not changed my introverted personality. Scientists have determined that introversion is related to the nervous system, more specifically to variables in cortical arousal. Their studies have shown that extroverts are cortically understimulated. Therefore, they must seek external stimuli to maintain optimum brain function levels, whereas introverts are more cortically aroused, therefore require less external stimulation. Though it may appear to others that introverts have less excitement in their lives than extroverts, science proves that they actually have more. That would explain why extroverts require outside excitement and introverts do not. Research also indicates that introverts are more governed by the neocortex, the part of the brain responsible for thinking, planning, language, and decision-making. And they appear to be less responsive than extroverts to dopamine, a brain chemical linked to reward-driven learning. So without the need for external excitement or stimulation, they tend to assess risks more carefully than extroverts do and are less likely to take them. Also, innumerable studies have determined that there is a substantial genetic component to the introvert-extrovert personality. So if that's the case with me, my introversion must have come from a mutated or recessive gene. I'm the only person in my family that is introverted. Both my parents and my two sisters enjoy highly social lives. I have, however, passed introversion onto my children. Both my daughter and my son are introverts. Let's look at it another way. My childhood home was an emotionally unpredictable environment with poorly defined boundaries. The only safety I felt was the safety I generated from within. Actually, it was the emotional walls I built inside myself and hid behind. So, could that explain my propensity for introversion? Well, it seems logical, but I don't see how that could be the case. My sisters grew up in the same environment, yet were not impacted the same way I was. Neither of them is introverted. And my children grew up in an emotionally safe environment with clearly defined boundaries, yet they are both introverts. Maybe it's my positioning within the family. It's possible that my placement as the youngest of three sisters had something to do with my introversion, though I cannot imagine where that component fits in. Studies on twins have shown that about half our chance of being introverted is inherited from our parents, whereas the other half comes from our environment growing up. It would seem that we inherit not introversion, but a proclivity towards it, and that even a child born from an extroverted line may, in the right circumstances, discover their inner introvert as they grow up. There is research indicating that the degree of introversion or extroversion can even be detected in infancy. Studies show that babies who are more highly reactive or more sensitive to stimulation are more likely to become introverts than those who are less reactive and less sensitive to it. So, with all that in mind, there are obviously a multitude of factors that influence our character, the nature versus nurture argument being a contributing factor. There's even evidence that we are born predisposed one way or the other. Susan Cain, the author of the 2012 nonfiction book, Quiet, the power of introverts in a world that can't stop talking, maintains that there are introverts and extroverts in almost every species of the animal kingdom, each having a corresponding survival strategy. Well, then again, there are also aspects of our being that can't be explained. We are spiritual beings living in physical bodies, and there is much we cannot see that influences our lives. So maybe Carl Jung was onto something when he attributed introversion to the inflow of psychic energy. The bottom line is that introversion is not a personality disorder. Introverts are normal. Extroverts are normal. Neither type of personality is a personality disorder. Though introverts are commonly seen as abnormal, nerds, loners, withdrawn, shy, unfriendly, there is absolutely nothing wrong with having introverted personality traits. There may be some publicized cases of introverts suddenly committing heinous acts, but any personality type, introverted or extroverted, can potentially veer off in unhealthy directions. It really does not matter where our introversion comes from. We will probably never know. What is important is that we embrace it as a gift. Yes, introversion is a gift. In fact, introverts make up about 60% of the gifted population, but only about 25 to 40% of the general population. According to estimates, extroverts outnumber introverts by about 3 to 1. So because we are outnumbered, introverts often find that other people try to change us or even suggest that there's something wrong with us. Nothing could be further from the truth. While introverts make up a smaller portion of the population, there is no right or wrong personality type. Instead, both introverts and extroverts should strive to understand, value, and accept each other's differences and similarities. Others may choose to view introversion as an inadequacy, but we now know better. Introverts actually have more stimulation in their lives than extroverts do, not less. That has been scientifically proven. And we are very fortunate. The introvert's world of quiet, deep introspection is a world extroverts will never know. But as introverts, we have the ability to experience the extrovert's world whenever and however we want to. So our gift is one we should be ever grateful for. Introverts are the complete package. I find that very empowering, don't you? We can also be excellent leaders and public speakers. And although we are stereotyped as being shrinking violets, we don't necessarily shy away from the spotlight. It may be true that introverts do not enjoy being the center of attention, but that preference does not necessarily keep them reclusive. You'd be surprised to know how many famous, high-profile people have this personality type. A-list actresses such as Audrey Hepburn, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Gwyneth Paltrow, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Courteney Cox identify themselves as introverts, as do high-profile actors such as Tom Hanks, Steve Martin, Johnny Depp, Harrison Ford, and Clint Eastwood. Even pro basketball legend Michael Jordan considers himself to be an introvert. And show hosts who also classify themselves as introverts, such as Barbara Walters, Matt Lauer, Diane Sawyer, and David Letterman, have very visible careers that require a great deal of social interaction. Johnny Carson's professional life was entirely in the limelight, yet he was notoriously introverted. And surprisingly out there performers such as Lady Gaga and Christine Aguilera also consider themselves introverts. Who would know? An estimated 40% of CEOs have introverted personalities. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg are a few examples. Notoriously brilliant men such as Albert Einstein, Charles Darwin, Dale Carnegie, Mahatma Gandhi, Frederick Chopin, and Sir Isaac Newton were also introverts, as were the highly visible political figures such as Abraham Lincoln, Queen Elizabeth, Eleanor Roosevelt, Laura Bush, and Al Gore. So I could go on and on with names of famous people who you would never dream of having introverted personalities. But a world in which introverts didn't exist but would be a world without scientists, philosophers, musicians, artists, poets, filmmakers, doctors, mathematicians, and writers. Yet introverts have been and continue to be tremendously undervalued in our society. That needs to change. We deserve a great deal of respect for our many contributions to mankind. So if you are an introvert, you can now take pride of the company you are in. You can now recognize and appreciate the value of your introversion and accept yourself for the extraordinary person you are. Go ahead. Say it loud. I'm an introvert and proud. Anais Nin said, and I quote, "Our culture made a virtue of living only as extroverts. We discouraged the inner journey, the quest for center. So we lost our center, and we have to find it again." Well, I'm sorry to say that we are out of time today. I want to wish everyone a very, very happy New Year, very safe, very healthy, and very serene New Year. If you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. randygfine.com, randigfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy, R-A-N-D-I, G, middle initial G, Fine, F-I-N-E, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. Wishing you again a very happy New Year. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.